Good morning. Good to see this number out this morning. If you're visiting with us, we are thankful you're here. If you would fill out a yellow card and hand it to one of the members, that we can have a record of your visit with us. I would like to ask one thing of the congregation to keep my granddaughter in your prayers. She's having a pretty rough time right now, and prayer is the answer. I want to say one thing about Lewis. Whew, he said, 67 years. How'd she do it, Lewis? That's something else. 67 years. Young people, look to that as a guide. Strong love through thick and thin. Through hard times, through good times. That's what marriage is all about. Love each other. Sermon topic this morning, the title will be, Do I Have to Do It? My dad said, yes, you do. He also said, if you don't, you know the consequences. So guess what I did? I went ahead and done it. Parents often will tell their children to go and do something. And here's the answer that they usually get back. You kidding? Do I have to do that? You want me to do that? Why can't Billy or Joe or Sally or Sue? There are going to be two statements that actually will follow this request. One, they'll try to get out of it. And the second one, they will reluctantly go ahead and be obedient and do it. But the same is in the employee-employer relationship also. There's a job that has to be done. The supervisor has to pick someone to do it. And when he picks that person, he's often addressed, do I have to do it? Why not get someone else to take care of that? This is also an attitude that carries over into the church. Members of the church will say to the elders or to the preacher, do I have to do that? Can't we get someone else? I'm not very good at that. Some will go ahead and do as God instructs, while others will not. So the lesson this morning, we're going to talk about some things you will have to do and some things that you don't have to do. Some things that you will have to do is you will have to die. You will die. Physical death was not to be immediate, but it was to be inevitable. For unto dust thou shalt return. Genesis chapter 3:19, the last part of that verse. God said, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The immediate death, kind of death, which man was to suffer was spiritual, a separation from God. And we learn from Isaiah 59:1-2 that sin causes that separation. But as sure as we live today, we will face death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 says, "And it is it appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Paul confirms this also in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 22. He says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." How is that to happen? If in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. Through obedience to what God has laid out. If we're obedient children, we've done what He has said, we shall live forever. Death to all mankind came about because of sin. Genesis chapter 3, when you get time, take the time to read Genesis chapter 3. We learn from Romans chapter 3, 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We learn from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." As I was putting this together, I looked at Romans 3:23 and then Romans 6:23. These two verses was verse 23. Is that a coincidence? Both talking about sin and the wages of, and then where eternal life comes from, is through Jesus Christ. Someone has said, "We are born to die." As you notice the newspapers, as you listen to the news, you can hear this grim reality that one thing you will have to do is to die. And the thing about it is, it's not all older folks. It's young, it's middle age. It's very young. Second thing you will have to do, you will have to be judged. The book of Acts teaches us that a day has been appointed in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. He says, "There in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He would judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead." And we will be judged according to our works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Every one of us will give an account of himself before God. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So what will be the deciding factor in this judgment? That standard by which we will be judged. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13 tells us this. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. We also see from John chapter 12, verse number 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You, I, will either have to go to heaven or to hell. You see, in God's wisdom, He gives us a choice. Do we want heaven or do we want hell? We decide if we want good or if we want bad. He gives us that much wisdom to think on our own. And He doesn't pressure. It's our decision. But He tells us about both. And we must decide. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus here describes the final judgment of the world. In verse number 32 of Matthew 25, Jesus there said, He will divide them according to their works, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He describes two destinies, eternal punishment and eternal life, Matthew 25, 46. In John chapter 3, verse number 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. On that verse alone, we should base our decision. It tells us, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believe and obey. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, which do we want? You see, we have to make that decision. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, there are some pretty strong words. Listen very carefully to what's been written. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who? That's those who do not know the Lord, and those who do not obey, will be punished with everlasting. Lasting means it will never end. Destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's another good verse to make that decision. Do you want to go to heaven? Or do you want to go to hell? You're going to have to stay in your destiny that you have chosen forever. In Matthew 25, 46, Jesus uses the terms everlasting and eternal in describing the duration of time. Once your eternal dwelling place is decided, there is no turning back. Once you're there, you can't change it. Do you remember reading from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31? Of course, this is talking about the rich man and Lazarus. But I wanted to point out in verse 23 something that the rich man said, or was said of him. And in hell lift up his eyes. He can't get out now. He can't change it. Continues, he says, being in torments. Do you want that? I don't. We read from verse number 24. I am tormented in this flame. Now, as I understand it, flame is fire. Flame is burning. Everlasting, eternal, never ending. We'll have to make the choice. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, Jesus there was walking by the sea, and he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. And he saith unto them, follow me. Boy, would it be nice today if that's all preachers had to say. Follow Jesus. But preachers have to beg and plead and talk about hell to get people to listen. But when Peter and Andrew were approached by Jesus, he said, follow me. And they went ASAP right away, dropped everything. They made a decision to follow Christ. John 3:16, we know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in the Son this morning? We learn from John 14:15. He says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. Do you love Jesus this morning? Make your choice sure, because you will have to stay in your chosen destiny forever. Now let's talk about some things you don't have to do. You don't have to hear Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, Paul told of a time when they would not hear Christ. Scripture says, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Fables are falsehood, false teachings. Jesus referred to the Pharisees as those who were dull of hearing. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. You ever get tired of hearing about Jesus? What he did for us. God the Father. The Son. In John chapter 10, verse number 16. Jesus said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And this refers to the Gentiles who will respond to his voice and become a part of the church. Will you not respond this morning and become a part of the church? Will you not listen to his voice in the pages of his word and become a part of his church? This one may shock you. You don't have to listen to the plan of salvation. Jesus said, if you do not believe, you will suffer the consequences. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Here's the consequences. He that believeth not shall be condemned or damned. But you don't have to do it. In John chapter 8, verse number 24, it says, "For if you believe not that I am he," here's the consequences, "you will die in your sins." When one dies in their sins, the Bible tells us they don't go to heaven because they haven't obeyed. To refuse to repent means to refuse eternal life. Are you going to refuse this morning? Are you going to refuse to take that step to be obedient to God's will? To have hope of eternal life. Without being obedient, there's no hope. No hope. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they did not refuse. The gospel was preached. When it was ending, Acts 2, 37, 38, they said, now when they heard this, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They asked this of Peter and the rest of the apostles. And Peter said unto them, "Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." They listened. We've already stated in Acts 17:30 that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. And this involves confessing Christ, Matthew 10:32-33. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." You see, without confessing Christ, you'll be denied. This also involves being baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27 tells us that's how we get into Christ. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put Christ on." If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've never been baptized into Christ, you have not put Christ on. You need to do that. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, we see there that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have all spiritual blessings. You don't have to live a faithful, righteous life to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 26. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Now, the way I read that, if I put something before Christ instead of coming to worship, I'm forsaking the assembly. And reading this scripture tells me that that's willful sin. And it also tells me that there remains no more sacrifice for that. Jesus died once. Unprofitable servants will be cast off. Matthew chapter 13, 41 and 42. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." You remember the parable of the talents from Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 24. We had one there was given one talent. He refused to do anything with it. He took it and hid it in the ground. The Lord came back and he says this, "Depart from me, wicked, slothful." I don't know about you. I don't want to hear those words. If we have talents and we don't do anything with them, we're just like the man in Matthew 25, 24. Are we not? "Whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father in heaven." You don't have to be evangelistic. You can take the gospel, you can obey the gospel, you can sit back on your thumb and four fingers and do nothing. But Solomon said this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Proverbs 11, verse number 30. It's wise to get out and tell someone about Jesus. Try to convert that soul to the gospel. Jesus' mission itself was to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse number 10. In John 13, verse number 15, Jesus says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." You have the example now. Go and do it. That's what he said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." So the conclusion this morning. There are some things that we have to do and some things that we don't have to do. But the choice is ours. So before deciding what you don't have to do, consider the consequences. Because there will be some. Will it be beneficial for you not to do what the Bible teaches? Because the Bible plainly teaches obedience to the will of God. So this morning, have you done so? If not, the choice is yours. If not, you will suffer the consequences. What he wants us to do is plain. It's not rocket science. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Live faithfully. Now this morning, if you're not doing that because you're afraid of what these other people will say, don't worry about those other people. It's your soul. I know you've heard this before. If you need me to come down there and walk you up the aisle, I'll do it. It's that important. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Continue to live faithfully for the rest of your life. If you need to come this morning, we pray that this morning will be the time that you do that, and that you will come and make that good decision and come into the fold of God. If you have a need this morning, come, we'll be standing and sing.